Thank you, Brother Bob, for your worship leadership this morning and for the reading of that important text. It'd be presumptuous of me to stand up here and say, I know what you're all feeling this morning. I really don't. I know when transitions come like they have here, it can be a shock, a surprise. Maybe some are glad, maybe some are very sad, and maybe there's some in between and just wonder, what in the world is going on? But I want you to listen to this scripture today. It's a God-given scripture because I wondered what this first sermon might look like. And as I thought about that and prayed about it, there is one phrase that came out in the reading of today's text that became the title of the sermon. Don't lose heart. So I come among you as one to bring encouragement and support. And it's fun because we know something about each other. And this time around, you're probably going to learn something else about me, and I'll learn something else about you. After all, it's been 2 years, and a lot has happened in 2 years. I hope I can be resourceful and helpful. I want to be. And I want to do it in the spirit of today's scriptures. Paul didn't work on his own behalf. He worked on the behalf of God. What he said and what he did, he wanted to glorify God with. And such is the truth for me. So I want to begin with what I think Paul might have been working on when he said, don't lose heart. Have you ever come to the point in your life that you just felt like throwing your hands up in the air and quitting? Maybe it's a relational thing and it feels frustrating and we go over and over and over it again. Peg and I have been married 48 years and we go over it and over it and over it again. And I just don't get it. I hope she doesn't throw up her hands in despair and say, we want to quit. But I guess she does get frustrated with me, and I won't tell you whether I get frustrated with her or not. Paul is speaking out of his frustration. Eugene Peterson, in the introduction to 2 Corinthians 4, or the 2 Corinthians book, writes that no other church that he has helped plant has created the problems, even corporately, together all those churches, that the church of Corinth presented to him. They have questioned his authority and thus his teaching and guidance as a leader. They had challenged his motives and accused him of inconsistencies, simply denied his right to tell them what to do. Just in that alone, and in the introductory comments of the 2 Corinthians 4, we hear some of his frustrations. So when he says, don't lose hope, and he, by the way, he says it twice in this scripture, but don't lose hope, I think he's first of all speaking to himself. And maybe the congregation there that are made up of people with a variety of feelings and thoughts and understandings and frustrations and joys and concerns, all of that coming together. And Paul knows how important the heart is. The heart in the New Testament is not the beating, throbbing heart that pumps life blood throughout our system. Heart in the New Testament is that, but it goes on to include the center of intelligence and emotions. It is what makes up the whole of the innermost part of our human life. Some would say it's even the wisdom of a human life. To understand what's going on with Paul, we have to understand what happened on the Damascus Road. Now, Paul was one of those all-in guys. When he took on something, he did it diligently and thoughtfully and with perseverance. And it was while on the Damascus Road where he was pursuing Christians to have them arrested because this Christian movement was upsetting the apple cart of the religious culture of his time. And he was a good Jew and a good Roman citizen. And while he was traveling on one of those occasions to find those Christians who were messing things up, according to his understanding, and the religious leaders of his time and their understanding, a blinding light knocked him off of his high horse. It's interesting in the Bible that sometimes God has to do things pretty dramatically to get the attention of those he wants to be his leaders. How else could Paul have spoken with such heart and such passion to the Corinthian church if it wouldn't have been for this dramatic moment in his life? And it was an unfolding drama. It didn't just happen overnight. It became a part of the structure and the experiences that Paul went through. And the same is true for us. We're on a journey, and things knock at our door. It can be health issues. It can be challenging relationships. It can be jobs that are challenging. It could be cultural realities that frustrate us, or maybe we wonder, maybe there's some truth in what we're hearing in today's world. But it's all a part of the formation of our life. But in Paul's journey, and his being knocked off of his high horse, and he was blinded to what he was seeing and experiencing, and Ananias, another part of the church's life, reluctantly coming to him, and as a result, the scales dropped from his eyes, and Paul saw things differently. Now, I don't think it's going to be that dramatic in this journey, scales dropping from our eyes. But I wonder if we won't gain some new insights and new understandings about who we are as we make this transition, as we think forward about a new day, new direction for this congregation's life. Maybe something going on in your lives. And I want to remind you that I'm always available in this journey to be contacted, to be talked with, to share if it's meaningful and useful to you. But on this journey, there's an important ingredient that Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola wrote a book on, Jesus Speaks. And one of the things they're working on in this book is, do we prepare ourselves to hear the voice of God? Do we prepare ourselves to hear Jesus speak to our minds and our hearts? Or do we just take all that for granted? So Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola refer to it as standing power, or staying power. Staying power is a capacity to hang in there, to stay with it, to spiritually prepare ourselves in addition to our already preparedness to hear. What is God trying to say to us? What do we want to and need to say to each other? What do we want to do differently as we move toward the future? This is an interim time for us to think about who God is and what God is about, to pray about the things that concern us, and beginning hopefully with the joys that are part of being a part of this congregation. Praying for those who are kind of on the margins, maybe have gone through a difficult time in these last couple years. Praying for the well-being and the health of this church, because God isn't finished with us yet. Maybe you remember that I used a poem from Lona Fowler when I came to be the interim the last time. And I read through that poem, it's about the middle times, and thought, wow, this is even more important now than it was back then. So I'm going to read part of that poem again. Jesus Christ was a man of God's middle time, between creation and accomplishment. Through him, God said of creation without mistake, and of accomplishment without doubt. And we are in the middle times of wondering and waiting, hurrying and hesitating, regretting and revising. We who have begun many things and seen but a few completed. We who are becoming more and less through the evidence of God's middle time have a stabilizing hint, and this is what I want you to hear, that we are not mistakes. That our being is of interest and our doing is of purpose. That our being and our doing are surrounded by amen. And Jesus Christ, the one whose life we're thinking about in the journey to Jerusalem and to the cross and to the resurrection, the one whose love continues to prevail throughout the whole story of Scripture, even to the last breath of his life, is the completer of unfinished people with unfinished work in unfinished times. This is an in-between time. I'm not going to be here forever, just a short while. You're going to be here, and hopefully you will invite others who have been away for a while to join back in. For we are the church of Jesus Christ, called to continue the work of Jesus Christ. And as Paul points out to the church, he isn't the reason for the church. Jesus Christ is. He is only the carrier of the message, as Eugene Peterson points out in his writings. We are the carriers of the message. You heard about the clay pot. I don't know what you feel about clay pots. I've had to kind of grow into it, and I grew into it by watching them being formed and shaped in the miracle of the pot coming out of a ball of clay. And realize there was an investment, there was a pushing, there's a formation of that clay pot. And recognizing that the potter never loses hope. The potter's always working. And even if something messes up, he just takes that ball of clay and puts it back in a ball and starts all over again. Oh, how I wish I could do that. That'd be wonderful. But Paul goes on to say, yes, you, the Corinthian church, might have chips out of your clay pot, or you might have a crack in your clay pot, but the miraculous part of what is that clay pot is what's inside. It's what's inside us, folks, that's important. So in this journey, we might rethink things. We might decide to think different thoughts. We might open ourselves to new possibilities. But we carry the good news of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our minds. And the Paul in the 16th verse of the scripture, which wasn't read this morning, says once again, do not lose heart. For this is a journey of character formation, a journey of discovery, and a journey to do our best with what we know right now. And I can tell you, as one that's been on a ministry journey for over 50 years, where I began in ministry, and where I am today, and where I'll be when I take my last breath, is an unfinished product. For we are in the potter's hands, forming the pot that holds this gracious, wonderful news. that Jesus Christ lives to bring us love, grace, and mercy. Let it be so. Amen.